All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Tuesday morning, here till 4. We'll have some classic Johnny Carson to play. We're going to play Karnak, the Magnificent, an appearance from Karnak. It's one of my favorite things that that Johnny used to do. We'll do that at 2:30. We have some insane one-star Amazon reviews, useless products that you don't need, and more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Jim Ryan is going to join us after 1 o'clock, music writer for Forbes Daily Herald and Chicago Now. We've got some music that we're going to talk about and some other stuff that he's written about as well. And we will play a round of that trivia game, Rock of Ages. Well, right now, it's our time for our monthly visit from Tom Appel. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive and host of the Car Stuff podcast. You can follow him on Twitter and Facebook at car_guy_Tom. And he joins us once a month to talk about automotive-related news stories and to answer any and all of your questions. If you're looking to get a car, a lease a car, you need some advice, any automotive question will be answered. Get in here now, talk or text at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Let's say hello to Tom. Hi, Tom.
Hello.
How are you holding up during this crazy time?
There's something wonderful about being on with you tonight because it's a regular schedule point and it feels normal.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I think a lot of people are trying to figure out what day of the week it is at this point, and it's a very strange time. Very strange time. I don't leave my apartment. The only time I ever leave is when I come down here to do the show, and then I go directly home.
Yeah, it's weird stuff. I have been going into the office. I'm the only person going into the office, and I'm just struck by the lack of cars on the road. There's time of day doesn't seem to matter anymore.
Yeah, no, it's very strange to when I come downtown here. I mean, it's like desolate down here. But that's good though, because that's where people are supposed to be inside. That's how we're going to get past this. That's how we're going to get over this, is stay inside. Yeah. So, anyway, that's what we're all doing. We're all doing our part. Tom, tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, thanks. Consumer Guide Automotive. We've been around since 1967. We review new and used cars at consumerguide.com. We try to have some fun with what's going on in the car world and with car nostalgia. And all that stuff is at the CG Daily Drive blog. Plus, about 3 months ago, we started the Consumer Guide Car Stuff podcast. We're on our 23rd episode now. We're getting some good reviews. A lot of fun. We try to be funny. We try to have fun, but we also try to inform. And if anyone's got an hour to kill, that's a great way to do it.
Okay. All right. Well, Consumer Guide Automotive, you can check out Consumer Guide. It's consumerguide.com, right?
Yeah, everything is there. They can get to everything from there.
Okay. All right, cool. Tom, we already have people who are texting in questions. Didn't take long. If you have a question for Tom that's automotive-related or car-related, you're looking to get some advice or a question answered, 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. Amanda from Georgia texts in, what should we do with cars that aren't being driven? I haven't put more than 10 miles on my car in the last 3 weeks, and I don't anticipate driving much soon. So what do I need to do to take care of my car? That's a good question. That's a good question.
Yeah.
A good and timely question, because, I mean, a lot of people are staying in. They're not driving.
Well, at least once a week, you should start the car.
Okay.
And let it run for a little bit. And at least every other week, I would recommend taking it out for a short spin. You want to make sure that the brakes don't seize up, that they still grab normally. So until the brakes stop squeaking, essentially, because if a car is sat for a while, the rotors are going to rust up and you'll hear it. It's a really ugly grinding sound. So until that wears away, you want to keep driving. Kind of a safe thing to do on a Sunday by yourself or with someone that you're huddled with. Go out, catch some sun rays and drive that car a little bit and let it breathe.
Drive around a little bit. There you go. But make sure you start it at least once a week, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's it, at the very least. 630 area code says, what does Tom think of the 2019 Ford Flex SEL AWD? Ford is offering great deals.
Oh, SEL. Okay, so that's the SEL all-wheel drive.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That makes sense.
Yeah, the Flex is fine. It's not my favorite car in that class, but if you like it, you're probably in good shape. The Flex is going away. The Flex is a really strange, kind of cool, squat-looking, wagony crossover. And I think 19 is its last hurrah. So if you can find one, if you like it, and there's a good deal, you want to go ahead and grab it because they're going away. But for most people, they're going to find them a little bit expensive, a little bit thirsty, and just a little bit out of step with everything else on the market. They've never really been updated in their, whatever, it's like a 10-year run now, 12-year run.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you think they're cool, and I kind of do think they're cool, go with it. But it's probably not the best pick in that segment.
Okay. All right. Okay, very cool. Tom Appel is with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk or text. And any questions that you have that are car-related or automotive-related, Tom is here to help you out. 312-981-7200. So, you know, the coronavirus is obviously affecting everything.
It is,
there's a story here that came out of NBC News about the automaker employees who work shoulder to shoulder say the plant should have closed earlier, but they are closed now.
Yeah, I believe every manufacturing plant in the U.S. is now closed. Yeah, the manufacturers held off as long as they could, maybe a little bit longer than reasonable. The American makers, FCA, Ford, and GM, closed earlier than some of the import makers here. But ultimately, they all closed. And, yeah, those are huge facilities, and they have lots of employees, and it would be hard to keep people socially distant at such a place. So, yeah, I don't know if anyone knew how to read that, but, yeah, they probably could have closed a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and this is going to affect, I mean, this is so nothing, everything is shut down then at this point.
Yeah.
And so, wow, I mean, we're talking a lot of money that's going to be lost here.
Yeah, the whole thing is a little bit weird. Manufacturers are loath to close a plant because if you close a plant, you have to shut everything down. So right now, everything is sort of on standstill, but they're idled, which means they're still being heated, they're still being cooled, they're still being maintained. Machinery is stopped and started to make sure it runs. So everything's ready to go at a relative short notice. But if they decide to actually shut down, that's a bigger commitment. And it changes things, and there's a lot of different things involved in that definition, but it also involves idling robots and things like that that can take a while to recalibrate and get up and running again. So This is a very messy business, and no one knows how long it's going to last. And
right.
Yeah, it's incredibly expensive.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting, though, that at this point there's still people, you know, going in to turn the machines on to make sure everything is still working.
Yeah, there are skeleton crews still running around those factories, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, interesting stuff. Okay, Tom, hang on a second, okay?
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. If you have a car-related question or you need some advice, Tom is here. Automotive question, any of that stuff, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. You can check out consumerguide.com as well here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here. And by the way, we have an emergency broadcasting test that we're going to run. EAS test will be coming up in just a couple of minutes, so be aware of that. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Tom Appel is with us. It's his monthly visit, and he comes on to the show to talk about cars and any automotive-related stories and things like that, and to answer any and all of your questions or give you some advice, too, at 312-981-7200. Tom, the situation is strange. Are you still out test driving stuff?
We are. Manufacturers have worked hard to try to keep the supply chain of test cars going, so we are actually taking delivery of very carefully sterilized vehicles, and I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah.
A couple of manufacturers have begged off. I understand that completely, but most of them still want to keep the test cars rolling. So, yeah, I'm still test driving.
What have you been driving?
I just drove something really good, really excited about it. It's the Hyundai Venue. Hyundai introduced the Kona about a year and a half ago. This was a subcompact crossover. And if you saw the Kona, you'd think, well, they can't go smaller than that. But they just did. So this is an extremely extremely tidy car with no front and rear overhangs. The wheels are all the way out at the corners. And I love driving this thing. It was, it's very small on the outside, very space efficient on the inside. Not quite big enough for me as a big guy, but I'm pretty much outside the norm. But fun to drive. But the best part about this thing is loaded with a denim interior. Sadly, they didn't license Levi. It's just denim. this came to $23,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I was really impressed.
Yeah, and it's a very small car, but you're a big dude, and you're pretty comfortable in it, right?
Yeah, what's hard for me is a big guy is getting in and out.
Yeah,
that's because the front door opening is a little small. Inside, there's plenty of space.
Okay, all right. And what else has been driven around at the place at Consumer Ed?
I'm currently driving one of the silliest things you can buy in the U.S., but also one of the most fun. It's the Alfa Romeo Stelvio Quadrifoglio. This is the highest performance version of Alfa Romeo's compact crossover. It's insanely fast, way faster than you would expect a crossover to be.
Yeah.
And yet relatively tame around town. It feels a little bit like a horse that's got an attitude, but it's cool.
Oh, man. Alfa Romeo, huh?
Yeah, that is kind of a legacy brand. And
yeah.
They're trying hard to make that work again in the U.S., and this is one of their key products.
Wow. Wow. What is that thing going for?
What is this thing going for? I think it's right around 80. Yeah, a lot of money for a small crossover.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it's Alfa Romeo, though. I mean, I figured it was going to be I figured the price tag was going to be pretty steep.
Yeah, no. It's a little bit less. Position between Alfa Romeo and Ferrari in the old Fiat lineup is Maserati. So this is one notch below that.
Mm, okay. All right. Anything else you guys been driving around?
What else have we got in the office right now? We did just drive the new Hyundai Sonata.
Oh, the new one, huh?
Yeah, that was redesigned, and that's the one with Smart Park, and that's a very nice car.
Okay. All right. Very, yeah. Very cool. All right. We got some texts that are coming in, and if anybody has questions and you want to call us, it's 312-981-7200. Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive is here. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And people can get you sign up for a newsletter, right, Tom?
Yeah, they can just email me right from the website. So if you go to Consumer Guide, go to Contact Us, just give us your email address, and we will put you on our Tuesday email blast.
Okay. All right. Let's see. We got a couple of texts that have come in. And 630 says, what is your best alternative to the Flex?
Well, we're talking about the Flex again.
Yeah.
The Ford Flex again, the kind of station wagon-y cool crossover from Ford that's going away. I don't know what a good alternative to that is because the Flex was very specifically a two-row vehicle. What would be the best alternative that's roomy and big? Actually, you could almost move over to the Ford Edge, I suppose, which is roughly the same size. It's a little bit more of a conventional crossover. In that segment, though, I think I really like the new Toyota Highlander, which is all new for 2020.
Oh, okay.
And I'll be spending more time with that later this week, but that is a very nice vehicle and worthy of people's attention.
Okay. Tom Appel is here. If you have a car-related question or you need some advice, automotive stuff, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. 2708 says, I've had a 2007 Ford Focus, which is still going strong. I gave it to my neighbor when needed a car, and currently I have a 2017 Focus. I have found them to be very reliable. Why did they discontinue that model? And any suggestions of similar models coming out for the future purchases?
No, yeah, the Focus is gone. One of the things that happened that people are a little bit unclear on is why the Focus, for example, or the Chevrolet Cruze were discontinued when they continued to seem to sell well. But the reason they were selling well is because they were so heavily incentivized. But Ford wasn't making any money on those, and GM wasn't making any money on the Cruzes. They were just building a lot of them to keep the factory running, so they chose to discontinue them. So there really isn't any American compact cars left. A really nice alternative in that class is the Honda Civic, and I really like the all-new Corolla.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah. So the Focus was around for a long time, though, right?
Long time, yeah. That replaced the Escort, which was around for a long time.
I had an Escort. I had a 1986 Ford Escort, Tom.
There you go.
Let me tell you something. It was a chick magnet. You want to pick up, ladies, get yourself a 1986 gray Ford Escort.
If you weren't in a hurry, you got good mileage.
No, it was, you know what, I had that, I mean, of course, I ran it into the ground, like every car I've ever had, I've driven into the ground. But no, that was a nice little car. I had it for a long time, and I got a lot of miles out of it, and it was a pretty reliable car, much more reliable than my Firebird was. I was talking about this. I had a 77 Firebird. I've told you this. You already know this, Tom.
Yeah, because we've talked about how the Van Nuys plant that built those was the lowest quality plant in North America.
I got to tell you, not surprised, considering how many times that thing was in the shop, Tom. It was unbelievable how many times I had to put that thing in the shop. And is that a common thing for like a 77 Firebird? Is it in the shop a lot? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a shame because the Camaro and Firebird were just flat out gorgeous.
Oh yeah,
I still want one.
Yeah,
I especially want anything that looks like a Rockford car.
Yeah,
a Jim Rockford car. But yeah, they were tragically unreliable.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, cool looking. You know,
yeah.
It was a cranberry. It was cranberry interior as well with the the fake leather interior.
Yeah, whatever that stuff was. Yeah,
that stuff. Yeah,
slippery. It was slippery.
Exactly. Yeah, it was one of those things where you remember the days when your dashboard would flat it would peel because of the sun and everything. Tom's laughing. It's a real thing. It would the interior would like fleck off.
Especially tragic if you had a dark colored interior like cranberry or
yeah.
a red or something or maroon like that, and it would crack, and then you'd see yellow insulation.
Yeah.
that was classy.
Yeah. the effects of sun on fake leather. 815 says, great show again. Sometime later, probably more towards the fall at this point, just based on work, we are looking to pick up another car. Honda CRV, Ford Escape, or Hyundai Santa Fe. Those are the ones that we're looking at. Any recommendations in that department?
Those are all great. I would test drive them all. Wow. Of those three, I'm probably leaning towards the Honda myself, just because it's a little bit more fun to drive.
The Honda CRV.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're all good cars. They fit, and they would fit what they need to do.
Yeah, that's a really good test drive list right there.
Yeah. What size cars are those?
Those are compact crossovers.
Compact crossovers.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So there you go. We also have a Jesse sends in a text and says, hello, Tom. Are any car companies planning on rolling out modern classic cars the way that Dodge did?
Like the way, I assume that means the Dodge Charger or the Dodge Challenger. Probably not. The retro thing seems to be gone. The last redesign update of the Camaro doesn't really look like a heritage vehicle anymore. The Mustang doesn't really look like a heritage vehicle anymore. Volkswagen just sort of said goodbye to the Beetle. So I don't think we're going to see a heritage car for a while. I think that's run its course.
When they brought the Mustang back, does it look like a Mustang?
Yeah, when they redesigned the Mustang for, what was it, 2010 or 2011, it looked an awful lot like the first Mustangs.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sort of a modernized version of that. Very popular. People responded to that very well. There's since been a redesign of the car, and it looks a little bit less retro now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it still looks like visibly like a Mustang. I don't think anyone would question what it looks like. But they've gotten away from that sort of heritage look.
Yeah. God, this Mustang is my favorite car. We've talked about this before. Mustangs are the coolest cars.
And they're wonderful to drive. They're fun to drive as they look like they are.
Yeah, a buddy of mine had a 68 or a 69 convertible.
Wow!
And it was a beautiful car, beautiful car. He let me drive it a few times, which was fun. It's a fun car to drive. So
I have never driven a vintage Mustang.
Yeah,
I'd love to do that.
It's pretty cool. It was pretty cool. All right, Tom, hang on.
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us. He is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. Check out consumerguide.com. You can get the newsletter, all the stuff, the test drives, and all that cool stuff. We got more car-related news stories to talk about and some of the stuff that they've been doing on the blog we're going to talk about as well. And answering any and all of your questions. You're looking to get a car and need some advice, automotive stuff, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. More with Tom Appel.
Girl, it's something about your act, and I sure do like your style.
Maybe it's the way that you carry yourself, or maybe it's the way that
you wear your hair. Too Hot to Stop by the Barqués. Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. Coming up after 1 o'clock, our good buddy Jim Ryan is going to join us. He's a music writer, entertainment writer for Forbes, Daily Herald, Chicago Now. We've got a bunch of music stuff to talk about. We'll play another round of Rock of Ages with Jim as he joins us. Right now, we're talking with Tom Appel. It's time for his monthly visit. He's from Consumer Guide Automotive. Any car and automotive-related questions, we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Tom, we're here.
Yeah.
All right. So this coronavirus could derail Cadillac's plans for a massive product rejuvenation. Is that's another effect it's going to have on?
Yeah, there's a couple of companies that are being badly dinged by this right now, and Cadillac has a lot going on right now that's really important to its profitability. One of them was a car called the XT4 and another car called the, CT4 and CT5. These were going to replace what was the CTS before it, and these were small and mid-sized sedans that were really kind of interesting. And one of them got out. Car and Driver has reviewed it, but not a lot of people have seen it. And it, now it's not going to end up in showrooms till who knows when. But most importantly to the company is the Escalade, which is far and away the most profitable thing in its lineup. And that was designed to be redesigned for 2021. And we should be seeing those now. And instead, the production has not begun. So that is just a huge blow to Cadillac and to the dealers, because that is single most profitable vehicle for Cadillac, and I think it's the single most profitable vehicle for any American manufacturer.
Mm. Now, we've never seen anything like this in terms of what, you know, like the stoppage of, closing down and things like that. We've never seen anything like this before, right?
No, there's been a couple of big things. Obviously, there was World War II, but since then, there hasn't been anything. There was the Kobe earthquake. What was that, like a decade ago or so, where a lot of parts out of Japan were held up because there was just a lot going up there. That was a manufacturing center. And people may remember that, for example, like you couldn't get cars that were black for a long time because the largest provider of black pigment for paint was in Kobe. And that was...
Wow.
Yeah, and the earthquake slowed that down. And obviously we've had a couple strikes that have slowed things down.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, but really nothing like this since World War II.
Yeah, wow. It's such a big deal. Keeping an eye on it, too. Everybody at Consumer Guide Automotive is keeping an eye on it, too. Hi from Wooddale. I just suffered a potential ownership-ending breakdown this evening and could unexpectedly starting a car search. Any recommendation for a mid-sized sedan that uses regular unleaded gas? And also, given current events as it is it a good time to buy or lease?
Wow, that's a great question. One of the things right now, and we can talk about the cars in a moment, manufacturers are not really discounting the cars that are on lots because there's just a finite amount of cars out there.
Yeah.
There was a 65-day supply nationally before the virus shut things down. And because no one is buying cars, there's still that supply of cars out there. So what you're seeing is that the cars aren't an incredibly good deal, but there are, for whatever reason, there's really good financing deals out there right now. And a couple of manufacturers are offering interest-free loans for up to 7 years.
Mm.
Yeah, which is insane.
Jeez.
That sounds irresponsible, but you don't have to wait 7 years to pay it off. Just take advantage of the free interest.
Yeah.
And then if something bad happens to you financially, well, then you have 7 years. So that's what's going on out there. In terms of leasing, I think some premium automakers might be doing lease deals right now, but I'm not hearing anything about that.
Okay.
In terms of mid-sized cars, mid-sized sedans, American manufacturers have gotten out of that market, but I still love the Honda Accord. That's a personal favorite.
Yeah, that comes up. That car comes up a lot when we talk.
Yeah. It's just such a really nicely balanced car. It's both affordable, but it feels luxurious, and it's incredibly capable on the road.
Okay. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. We're talking with Tom Appel from Consumer Guide Automotive. Any car or automotive-related questions, call us or text us now. 224 sends a text that says, what do you think of the 2020 Volvo XC40?
Oh, fun car. The XC40 is Volvo's subcompact crossover. Looks cool. Beautiful interior. Volvo might have the nicest interiors in the industry right now. Everything about that car is pretty slick. It's not as sporty as you would think. The steering's a little bit over-boosted. The ride's just a little bit light compared to something like a BMW X3. But I think most people are going to find it a really pleasant vehicle to own. One caution is that the prices climb like crazy when you start adding options.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you really got to be careful.
Okay. 262 says, what does Tom say about the 2018 Ram 1500 Eco Diesel?
The 2018?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so that's Ram's big truck, their 1500 series truck. The Eco Diesel is a 3-liter. It's a light-duty diesel. It's built by Fiat for FCA. It's a fine engine. It gets good mileage. It's not quite as pleasant as it could be. It's a little bit loud, as you would expect a diesel to be. But I think if you're looking for a diesel, I think you'll find it's just fine.
Okay. And then this is a fun little question from the 872 area code. What's your favorite car logo?
My favorite car logo?
Yeah.
Huh. I think I like the old version of the Mercedes TriStar, which was surrounded by laurel on either side.
Okay.
Yeah, like a really retro version from the 30s or 40s.
Geez, I'd have to think about that. Favorite car logo. Yeah, that would be something I'd have to think about for sure.
Yeah, and the BMW propellers are usually an enthusiast favorite.
Yeah. Okay. 630 says, I have a 2013 Jeep Patriot with 130,000 miles. It runs fine, but my adult kids are worried it will start costing me. I hate to take on a car payment, but how long do these vehicles go?
Well, at this point, there's no knowing. 130,000 is a good run. I think cars these days can usually go to about 150 pretty reliably. So, yeah, you could be getting into trouble soon, but there's just no way to know.
Yeah, 130,000 miles in 7 years. So, maybe they didn't get the car in 2013. Who knows?
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, but yeah. That's a pretty hefty amount of miles right there.
It is.
Yeah, geez. All right. What about this story here? 85 years of versatility. We're talking about the Chevy Suburban.
Yeah, the Suburban is mechanically similar to the Escalade we were just talking about, and that'll be all new for 2021 or whenever the factories start rolling again. But the Suburban might actually be, and I think it is, the longest-running nameplate in the U.S. now.
Is that right?
Yeah. And a funny thing about that, in the earliest days, Suburban was not exclusively a Chevy brand. There was a Plymouth Suburban as well. And a lot of manufacturers are using it for little vans that you might call buses in those days, or station hacks, but the woody-sided things that you used to drive, like in front of hotels or to train stations and stuff like that. So the name Suburban was once a very functional thing and not a brand, but Chevy eventually latched onto that. Yeah, they've run with it ever since.
Wow. It's had 85 years.
Yeah, that's a long run.
That is a long run. That's a very long run. Do you see a lot of those out on the road?
Yeah, the Suburban sells very well. The Suburban is sort of the long wheelbase version of what is the Chevy Tahoe, and those have sold well for a long time. They're extremely popular in Texas and very profitable.
Is there a reason why they're so popular in Texas in particular?
Texas just loves trucks. They love big pickups. Oh. And they love big trucks.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So the Ford Expedition also extremely popular in Texas.
That brings up an interesting thing. The most popular cars in different parts of the country. Are there certain places that really certain cars just are more popular there than other places?
Yeah, we were just talking about the Ford Flex, for example, and one of the things about the Flex is has the different color top, the different color roof, and it's got kind of a surf thing going on. Extremely popular in California. The rest of the world doesn't want it. And then you've got Subaru, where I think it's in the Northeast, the Outback does so well, and in Colorado, the Forester does incredibly well. It's just funny to see these things happen.
Yeah. What about here?
Chicago used to be kind of a Ford town, and I think it still is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Chevy does well, but Illinois, the Chicago area, has largely been domestic for a lot of years. That's fallen away now. But I think that Ford still does really well here.
Mm-hmm. In Chicago.
In the Chicago area.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see what are the other popular cars. So you guys have been doing a bunch of test drives. The 2020 Toyota Prius.
Yeah, we just drove a Prius, and this is, it's funny to drive a Prius now after we've driven so many electric vehicles and plug-in hybrids and things like that, to go back to town and just drive a conventional, old-school, regular Prius. And
sure,
it was refreshing to do that because it's good to be reminded just how good the Prius is and was. It's just very roomy. It's very efficient. It's very simple. And it's still a pretty good deal. You know, we drove a high-end version of it, but we still... the weather was still a little bit cold, and it wasn't the ideal conditions for hybrid fuel economy, but we still got like 45, 46 miles per gallon.
Wow.
Without trying. Yeah, yeah. The Prius sales are really off these right now because Toyota, for example, makes a bunch of other hybrid models. So I think the importance of the Prius may be slipping, but it's still a fundamentally good car with great resale value.
And one more time, how long do you drive? Do you guys test drive each car?
Oh, 2 weeks, and we try to get at least two drivers, but up to four drivers through each one.
Okay, and then there's like a report card that you guys put together for each car.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And you've got like room and comfort, power and performance, fit and finish, fuel economy value, so on and so forth.
Yeah, and then we've got big and tall, too.
Right.
I get to set the big grade, and our 6'6" editor, Damon Bell, is the tall, the arbiter of all things tall.
Well, there you go. Yeah, and it's very thorough stuff that you guys do. It's really, really great.
Now, oh, thank you. We try.
Yeah, and what about the 2020 Nissan Armada Platinum?
Yeah, the Armada is an interesting vehicle, and if we were just talking about the Suburban, and it's sort of competition for that, but not exactly. The Armada isn't built in the U.S., but it is sold here. But it's a traditional body-on-frame, old-school SUV that's sold as the Patrol in other markets. It's kind of a serious off-roader, and it's not as well suited for American large truck passenger comfort duty as something like the Suburban or the Ford Expedition. It's got its charms. It's covered with chrome. It's very quick. The interior is a little over the top, but it is surprisingly not roomy for a vehicle of its size, and it's really thirsty.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. For the big guy, it gets a C.
Yeah, and this is one of those things you run into with Asian-built vehicles. The doors are really small.
Okay.
For a vehicle of this size. And, yeah, it's just a pain for tall and big guys to get in and out of.
Okay. All right. All right. More car talk with Tom Appel. If you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200, consumerguide.com. And we got more car stories to talk about, 312-981-7200, if you have a question or a comment for talk or text. All right. Right here on 720 WGN. James Brown, man. Pop's got a brand new bag. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Our good friend Jim Ryan is going to join us, entertainment and music writer for Forbes, Daily Herald, Chicago Now. Always a lot of fun to have Jim on. We'll talk some music and some other entertainment stuff, and we'll play a round of Rock of Ages, which is our music trivia game that we enjoy playing. And the news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN. Tom Appel is with us for his monthly visit. Tom is from Consumer Guide Automotive. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, here's Mike on WGN. Go ahead, Mike.
Quick comment. Every time I hear that song, I think of the Unknown Comic.
All right, Mike. Go ahead.
We have a 2018 Buick Encore, so it's 2 years old. The computer's saying change oil soon. But we only have 1,200 miles on it.
Yeah, that seems like the oil would be new, but I think there is a time limit on oil changes. So if you don't meet it by actually accruing miles, they're going to make you change it anyway because the filter starts to break down and the additive package in the oil starts to break down. So even though the oil is probably really clean and fresh looking, it is 2 years old. So it makes sense that you probably need to change it now.
Okay, Mike?
Disappointingly, yes, okay.
Okay, take care. Mike thinks of the Unknown Comic when he hears Papa's got a brand new bag. I love the Unknown Comic, man.
I, I need to make my daughter see that. I don't think she knows about the unknown.
Oh, she doesn't know about the unknown comic?
I doubt it. I don't know if she knows about the Gong Show.
Oh, man.
I need to fix that.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Good old Murray Langston. That's who the unknown comic is, Murray Langston. He was in a movie, a wacky comedy with Linda Blair called Night Patrol.
I don't know this movie.
It was like a wacky police. They were like a wacky police squad. And they were on the night patrol. It was Linda Blair and Murray Langston. I'm trying to remember who else was in it, but it was one of those oddities from the 80s that it's out there. It's out there in the ether.
An all-star cast.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Can't go wrong with Linda Blair and Murray Langston. Let's see. A couple of texts here.
All right.
So I have a 2011 Honda CR-V I loved. Thinking of getting a Honda CR-V to 2020, how does it compare and what is it crossover?
If you like the old CR-V, you'll probably like the new CR-V. Also new last year was the Toyota RAV4, which is roomier now than it used to be and a little bit better riding, so that's worth looking at too. And then this is kind of a dark horse, and I'm the only one at Consumer Guide that's really a fan, but the Chevrolet Equinox is incredibly popular right now.
Yeah.
And largely because it's really space efficient, it's really fun to drive, and it's really quick.
Yeah.
Worth knowing about too. Although the interior is not as nice as a lot of the other crossovers.
Okay. 815 has a question about, are there disinfecting wipes that are safe to use on interior that won't make the color fade?
Generally, all of them. We've been looking into that, and that's a really popular question right now. But yeah, if you use some sort of typical disinfecting wipe, it should not discolor the leather or vinyl in a car.
Okay. Yep. And everybody's using them now. You have to.
Yeah. Yeah, so. Car interiors are insanely durable.
Yeah. Okay. 630 says, are there any American-made vehicles that have good rear seat legroom with the front seat all the way back?
With the front seat all the way back. Well, right now we're only talking about crossovers because there really aren't any American cars anymore. And you kind of got to get to midsize before you make that happen. Compact crossovers, it depends on the car individually. When you get to midsize crossovers, almost all of them work.
When did they stop making two doors?
I'm trying to think what the last two-door was, and I think it might have been the Honda Accord. Still had a coupe.
Yeah.
But in terms of non-luxury coupe versions of midsize cars, that might be it.
Yeah. Because remember the days when you would have to lean forward and push your seat forward so that the person in the back seat could get out of the car?
Yeah, my dad had a 79 Thunderbird.
Oh,
which was insanely long, and yet the back seat was kind of cramped. But yeah, you had to push the seat really far forward to sneak into the back seat.
Yeah.
And then once you were in the back, you couldn't see out. It was an incredibly claustrophobic experience.
Oh man! And then when did they stop making station wagons, Tom?
Station wagons just sort of died out slowly, and the crossover killed the station wagon.
Yeah,
and station wagons are hip among luxury vehicles. You know, Mercedes-Benz still makes an E-Class. Audi still makes one. And I'm trying to think who else still makes one now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, BMW still has a couple, I think. I think there's still a BMW 3 Series. No, there isn't.
Yeah.
There isn't a BMW 3 Series. Yeah, wagons are kind of going away. There's a hipster element to them.
Sure.
But it's mostly just luxury cars now.
Yeah, the station wagon with the fold-down seats all the way in the back.
Yeah.
I remember my aunt had one. And we would sit in the back. My cousins and I would sit on that fold-down, you know, the fold-away seat in all the way in the back of the car.
Yeah, my dad briefly had a Ford wagon back in 69 or 70. My sister and I loved it because it had the rear seat.
Yeah.
But he was just so annoyed by the fuel economy that he sold it right away.
I bet.
Yeah, it was brutal.
All right, how about this? You guys on the blog have a lot of fun. The five grooviest vehicles of 1965.
This was a response by John Beale. John is the editor-in-chief of Collectible Automobile Magazine, our sister publication. And we had done a lot of these, where it was senior year lust or eighth grade lust. So he decided to match us for that. So he came up with his cars that he loved when he was a senior.
Okay. Let's talk about these, because this is the year of my birth. And I think the year of your birth as well, right?
It is, yeah. I think you and I are very close in age.
Yeah. So tell us about some of the grooviest vehicles of 1965.
Yeah, now this is a very popular one with people who are students of design or just love old cars, and that's the Buick Riviera.
I'm looking at it. It's such a cool-looking car.
Yeah, that's a great car. Also, Leonard Nimoy owned one.
Oh, we did?
So, yeah, that's worth knowing.
Of course you would know that, Tom.
Yeah, that's really on the Venn diagram of things I know. That's right dead center.
Yeah, it's a very cool-looking car, though.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
The Chevrolet Corvair Corsa.
Yeah, that also very attractive. This is the coupe version of the Corvair, the vehicle that Ralph Nader disliked. But it was a looker.
Yeah, it's a weird. It's kind of a weird-looking car.
It is a little bit weird-looking, and that's largely because it is rear-engined, a thing that kind of affects its proportions.
Ah, Oh, I see you put the gas in right by the front door.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
right by the door. The Ford Mustang.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Yeah, that goes without saying. what about the Chrysler Corporation full-size cars?
Yeah, John's got a thing for big Chryslers, and I get the look here. These are very kind of crisp and clean looking for the era. Cars are starting to get big, and that whole yank tank thing was starting to happen.
Yeah.
But there's a nice, tidy crispness to these still.
Oh, okay. The Studebaker Daytona Wagonaire. Boy, what a great name for a car.
It is, and I don't get it. This is entirely on John, because that thing just looks stodgy to me. But
yeah. Yeah, I don't find it attractive.
Yeah, I can't defend his position here.
Yeah.
Only that he has one, and I respect that.
By the way, you know, when someone asks a car logo, and looking at this this picture, this Ford Mustang, Mustang is my favorite logo then, obviously.
You know, I had not thought of an individual model logo, and yeah, that's a great one.
Yeah, because it's my favorite car, so it's my favorite logo as
and
well.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. So, you know, at this time, with all the weirdness that's happening, are you still trying to, are you writing as much as you can, but you're writing from home, obviously?
Yeah, we're doing what we can, and you know what's strange about it? I'm actually more productive because people aren't hanging out in my doorway.
Okay.
So, I'm lonely, but I'm productive.
There you go. So what are you working on now?
Tomorrow we've got a review of the Dodge Durango SRT 392, which is the Dodge Durango stuffed full of giant V8. So that review should go up later tomorrow.
Okay, and always, you guys are always working and driving and test driving cars and all kinds of cool stuff. And again, people can just go to consumerguide.com for more information. And one more, the Honda Civic hatchback Sport Touring, the 2020. Uh-huh. How did that go?
That's a wonderful car. That is a really interesting car. It's somewhere between sporty and not sporty. It's a little bit classy. And that hatchback body style is going away. Those were only built in England, and because of Brexit, Honda is going to shut down that factory.
Oh, wow.
So if you like the hatchback, get it now.
Okay. Well,
yeah, heck of a nice car.
Yeah, it got great marks by you guys. So
yeah,
that's really good. Okay, Tom, it's always a pleasure, my friend. Stay inside. Stay well, my friend.
Yeah, you guys take care, too.
Okay, and we'll see. We'll talk to you next month.
Sounds good.
All right, there you go. Tom Appel, everybody, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, a great website. I always love to have Tom on, and I haven't driven a car in years, but it's always great. He's very informative and very helpful, and the website is fantastic. Get that newsletter and stay on top of it. Okay, we've got the news coming up. And then after the news, our good friend Jim Ryan is going to join us. He usually visits with us about once a month, and he's a music writer and entertainment writer for Forbes.com, Daily Herald, Chicago Now. We've got a bunch of entertainment stories that he's written to talk about, and we're going to play a round of Rock of Ages, as we always do. And that'll be coming up after the news, which is next.